There is great power in words. A bitter word may wreck a life. A cruel word may destroy a life. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lift and inspire, but a loving word will heal and bless. I tell you, there's power, great power in words. And I hear the inspired writer saying, all flesh is as grass. Glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withereth. The flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Yes, flowers fade, grass wither, but the word endures. And if I could just hold on to God's unchanging hand, everything gonna be all right. Amen. You may go through the storm, but I assure you, everything is going to be all right. Because God can do anything but fail. He's in a class all by himself. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Revelation. I want to thank Brother Brandon Harris for the excellent job he continues to do. I want to thank Brother Everett Sperling for a masterful reading of the scripture, and Brother Donald Wynn for a tremendous prayer. Brother Rutledge for some splendid singing. Amen. The book of Revelations today, the chapter is 3, and I want to begin reading at the 14th verse, Revelation chapter 3. And I want to begin reading at the 14th verse. Revelations 3, 14 beginning. If you have that, say amen. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I want to read verse 15 again, because this is the foundational passage for this message. And it reads, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Using this reading, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, we ought to turn up the temperature. We ought to turn up the temperature. Now, when we think about the word temperature, we're talking about the inherent quality of living things. Sometimes temperature is measured in terms of degree, in terms of hotness and coldness, in relationship to something else. When one has a fever, it means that the temperature has exceeded 37.0 Celsius or 98.6 Fahrenheit. But sometimes the word temperature can be used to describe the excitement and the tension within a particular setting or situation. Now, as we use this term today, we're talking about temperature in the sense of zeal, excitement, passion. And somebody ought to turn up the temperature. Now, when we look at the church of Laodicea, I can truly say about the Bible, thou art a book come from God. Because no book can teach the thing that thou teachest unless God be with it. And when we look at the church, Jesus Christ was walking in the midst of the seven churches of Asia Minor. He was walking among the golden candlesticks. These churches were located in Asia Minor. And of course, we are looking at the church at Laodicea. Laodicea was near, was southwest of Phrygia that we read about in Acts chapter 2. And it was between Colossae and Philadelphia. It was near what's called the Lycus River. And it was a town or a city that was very rich. And it was rich because it had some of the world's most expensive wools. It was a place where a great medical school was. So it was a very privileged and special place. And of course, the Church of the Lord was there. And that was the greatest institution in Laodicea, the Church of the Lord. And in case you didn't know, the Church of the Lord is the greatest institution in Birmingham. It's the greatest institution in the United States of America. It's the greatest institution in the world. Amen. And this particular church thought they were all right. But upon closer inspection and examination, we find that things were not kosher. And somebody needed to turn up the temperature. Now, there are three things I want you to see, and the first thing I want you to see is that Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's everything you'll ever need. Do you believe that? Not enough for you to just theoretically say that, but do you believe that Jesus Christ is all you will ever need? When Moses was on the backside of the desert, the great I Am appeared to Moses and told him, go down to Egypt land and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, when I go down there and tell Israel that the God of your fathers appeared unto me, he said, what am I going to tell them if they ask me what is his name? What shall I say? And God said to him, say, I am that I am. That's quite a name, ain't it? And he said, tell them that I am sent you. But you know, in that particular case, I am sent Moses. But I want you to know today that the great I am has come to earth. And that great I am is the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear Paul saying in 1 Timothy 3:15, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was justified in the spirit. He was preached unto Gentile. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. I tell you, the great I am has come by here. He's been by here. And the great I am, somebody said that a leader, John Maxwell said that a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Did you hear what I said? He knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. Well, Jesus is a leader who knows the way because he is the way. He goes the way and he shows the way. And Jesus shows us how we ought to live for God. Because Jesus was on fire for God. On one occasion he said, my meat is to do the will of God. You know, if you just listen to people talk, you can know what they're excited about. Hello? Amen? He said one time when he got ready in Acts and John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple. The Bible said he formed a score small, drove out those who were corrupting God's house. And the Bible said that he overturned the money changers' money and he overthrew the tables. And he said, the zeal of God's house has eaten me up. And zeal means energetic and unflagging enthusiasm for a particular and especially for a cause. Jesus said, I'm living with heat for God. I'm living with excitement for God. And he shows us how we ought to live for God. Amen. We ought to turn up the heat for God. We ought to get excited for God. We ought not to be dragging, lagging, and sagging when it comes down to the service of the Lord. Get from me Romans 12:11. We ought to turn up the heat for God. Are you excited about Jesus? Thank you, Brother Wyatt. Let me ask again. Are you excited about Jesus? You excited about the Lord? Because if you're not, you need to turn up the heat. What does Romans 12:11 say, Brother Hiller? Read it. Romans, that's 12:11. Well, I don't want that. I want the one that says, not slothful in spirit. What did I just say? What you just read, Brother Hillary? You trying to mess me up, ain't you? I know what you're trying to do. Yeah, you excited, okay. Well, I give you a pass on that, Hillary, see, since you excited. Praise God. Come on, Brother Hillary. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving somebody. Somebody. Oh, somebody ought to turn up the heat. Is that all right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. For the Lord is good, not some of the time. The Lord is good all the time. And all the time the Lord is good. Be thankful and bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. Now, there's something we ought to be very happy about or very concerned about, and that is the Lord knows every congregation work. The Lord knows. Now, if you're doing what's right, that should encourage you and excite you. Because the Lord said, I know thy works. If you are not doing what's right and good and proper, that should concern you. That should disturb you. Because with the Lord, everything is out in the open. Nothing is hidden from God. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows all of our secrets. God knows all of our struggles. God knows all of our potential. God knows all of our problems. Is that right? Like Johnny Taylor said, everything's out in the open. When it comes down to God, everything is out in the open. Now, that should either excite us or challenge us, because I can't hide from God. I hear the psalmist, and whether shall I flee from thy spirit, or whether shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the night will cover me. He said, even the night is light unto thee. Even the night is just like daylight to God. Everything is out in the open. Now here's the second point. The first point was, Jesus is our all in all. Here's the second idea I want you to think about, and that is, Jesus has a problem with anybody who is serving him without excitement. Did you hear what I said? Let's look at the text. Revelation 3, you have your Bibles? Let's look at the text. Look at verse 15. Well, let's back up. Let's look at verse number 13. Brother Wynn prayed so beautifully, and he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That is an attitude to hear. Now, look at verse 14. He said, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean. And of course, Laodicea was between Colossae and Philadelphia. And it's found in Colossians 4:16. Brother Hillary, let's go to Colossians 4:16, and we'll see that Laodicea is mentioned in the epistles. You have Colossians 4:16. What does that say?
And when this epistle is read among you.
And when that is the epistle that Paul writ to the, and of course, Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians are what are called a prison epistles. That Paul was incarcerated when he wrote these letters. From time to time, he would mention about being in chains. He was in jail when he wrote those letters. So, you know, even though he was in jail, Jesus Christ was in jail with him. Is that all right? You go through your struggle, the Lord is with you. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans.
You read in the church of the Laodiceans.
And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea.
And that was a letter written to Laodicea. So Laodicea is a rich town. It has a medical school. There are people there are wealthy. People there, they have blowed up. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And they thought they were all right. What kind of letter do you think the Lord would write to Bush Hill? Something to think about, isn't it? Would the Lord say to us, we need to turn up the heat? What would he say? Look at this text, verse 14. And unto the angel, some scholars see the angel that is the minister or the preacher there, because it is his responsibility to communicate to the people of God the message of God. Angelos, the messenger. Now watch what he say. To the church of the Laodiceans, right. Now watch this. These things saith the amen. Now amen there means the true God. The true God. The amen is the true God. Whenever somebody says something and you say amen, you are saying, let it be. You are affirming the truthfulness of what they said. Can the church say amen? When you say amen, and he said that, the amen says it. Now, let's go a little further. And then he said, the faithful and true witness, and that means the witness whose testimony can never be false. Now, sometimes a witness will get on the witness stand and lie. They call it testifying. Is that right? Amen. Sometimes witnesses lie on the stand. Amen. And Sister Sperling would tell us, she's a great attorney. She would tell us, you know, sometime a witness may lie, but you got to catch him in the lie. Is that right, Sister Sperling? You got to prove he lying. Amen. You know he lying, but you can't prove it. Like something them children say, did you do that? No, I ain't do it. Look you right in the eye and tell you, no, I ain't do that. Did you go in them cookies? No, cookies all on his mouth. And you didn't go in them? Is that all right? But he says the true witness, that is the witness whose testimony can never be false. The witness whose testimony, but let's go further here, that can never be false. The beginning of the creation of God, that is through Jesus Christ, God created the worlds. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ made Birmingham, Alabama. Jesus Christ made Bush Hill. Jesus Christ made West End. Jesus Christ made Forest Dale. They didn't name it that when he made it, but that's, he made Winewood. He made the hood. Is that all right? But let's go further. Let's go further. He said, I know thy works. God knows what we're doing. He said that thou art neither cold. That word cold means, I want you to get this, it means something that has grown or is growing cold. How many of y'all like coffee? Oh, yeah. So he had some zeal about that coffee. He said, oh, yeah. You didn't just say, yeah, oh, yeah. Is that right? How many like it hot? How many like lukewarm coffee? Nobody? How many like iced coffee? Got a few. But you don't want it in the middle, do you? You either want it hot or you want it cold. Am I correct? Well, God says concerning the church of Laodicea, you're neither cold, you're growing cold. Some people spiritually, their temperature is cooling off. And then he said hot. The word hot is from the Greek word zeo. It means to boil. Now, something that's cold and hot, that is a stark contrast between something that's cold and something that's. And that's why Jesus said you need to turn up the temperature. Can you see that? And some churches, you see, folks get all excited about a new building. Look, ain't nothing wrong with a new building. But a new building, I don't care if it costs $10 million, is not the measurement of your spirituality. You may have cushion seat and plush carpet and a glass pulpit, But that is not the true measurement of your spirituality. You may have a steeple that pierces the sky, but it is not the true measurement of your spirituality. He said, you're neither cold nor hot. Watch this. Watch verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, that is tepid. When something is lukewarm, it's tepid. It's barely warm. Since you are lukewarm in your spirituality, Jesus says, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you, that is vomit. Anybody here ever had the misfortune of having to vomit? I know this Sunday and I know you're done. That's why I said it early in the lesson. Brother Earl, one night I ate something I shouldn't have ate. And man, my stomach didn't like it. And it kept telling me, I don't like this. And I kept saying, Brother Ben, shut up. I'm eating this. I said, all right. Settle down for sleep, and I heard some rumbling. And I got up, and it let me know, this here ain't staying on this premises. Amen. This is Claudia. I felt better after. Here's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying to the church, listen. He's saying your spiritual state is so disgusting. That's what he's saying. I'm going to regurgitate you. This is unacceptable. I'm not going to accept this. If I'm living as a Christian and I'm lethargic and not excited, God is not going to accept that. Amen. Y'all all right? But let's go a little further. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 denotes the reality that sometimes people think they are okay, but they're not. Have you ever thought you were okay financially? And when the bank statement came, you weren't? Hello? Some people think they are okay spiritually. They think that they have a right relationship with God, but they are not okay. If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? You ought to know that. And if you stay in a prayerful, penitent, faithful posture, you would go to heaven. But God says, I am not going to accept your tepidness, your lukewarmness. I'm not going to accept it. And here's what you say. You say you're all right. Look at what they say at church. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. This is the church saying this, Laodicea. It sounds, Brother Wynn, familiarly dangerous, like the rich fool Didn't he talk like that? What did he say? I'm on Tad Alma, Barnes Bilsom. And here they were. Yeah, they had plenty of money. There's a lot of folks in the world today got plenty of money. They got plenty of bank, but spiritually, they're bankrupt. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. God looks deeper than that. They said, I'm rich. I'm in need of nothing. That's what you say. But here's what the Lord said. And you know, and you don't even know. He said, and you know it's not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was their true condition. Naked, miserable, wretched, poor, and blind. Yet they thought they were all right. Amen. Jesus says, I got a problem with your spiritual temperature. And a lot of Christians, if you check their temperature, they ain't hot, they ain't cold, they ain't lukewarm. Hello? Sometime you will, sometime you won't. Trying to help somebody this morning. Trying to help me. Some people in a marriage, the marriage lukewarm. Now the marriage cold. Huh? Ain't nobody gonna say that? This is what you say. You say, I am rich. I am in need of nothing. But you don't realize you're wretched. You're miserable. You're blind. Spiritually. Yeah, you may have a great job and you're making nice money, but spiritually you are naked, wretched, blind, and miserable. You may live in a nice house, drive a nice car, wear nice clothes, wear, as Brother Ryan said, you blinged up. Hello, got all kind of jewelry. But spiritually, you're miserable. You may have a refrigerator or a deep freezer full of the most delectable, delicious, sumptuous foods that money can buy. But spiritually, you are wretched. You think you're all right. Sometimes, can I get deep with you? Sometimes we look at numbers. Yeah, we like to have numbers, but numbers is not the true indicator or measurement of how spiritual people are. Oh, I can prove that. I can give you two biblical examples to establish that particular point. Noah was the only one right. He didn't have the numbers, but he was right. Is that right? Gideon started out with an army in thousands, but when the elimination process was completed, he only had 300 men. Yes, God wants numbers, but don't get hung up on numbers. There are a lot of churches got millions of dollars in the bank. And it's just in the bank. If you got that kind of financial power, you should be making an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. And I know what I'm talking about. I won't call the name, but I know what I'm talking about. They got all kind of financial resources. But if anybody asks them, they give you the ninth degree. They won't help nobody. But yet you say, I'm all right. I'm rich. We don't have to ask another congregation to help us. We're fine. The Lord said, you don't know your true condition. But I got some good news for you. Watch this. You see, one thing you can't do, and I've learned this, you just can't tell people about the wrong they're doing without giving them hope. Even as you did with your children, don't just criticize them and tell them all the wrong they're doing. Give them some encouragement and some hope. Is that right? I may be doing wrong, but give me a word. Give me a word, preacher, that can uplift me. No, I ain't where I need to be, but I need some help this morning. Give me some help. Here's a good word. Listen to the next verse. He says, I counsel thee. Now, here's what they said. Sister Pat, they said they were rich, didn't need nothing. Christ said, here's your real condition, and here's my counsel for you. If the Lord was going to give you some counsel, would you take it? Or he'd give you all the counsel right here in the Word. Do you take that? Amen. Listen to what he said. He said, I counsel thee, watch this, to buy of me gold tried in fire. Now, gold tried in fire is genuine faith. That's real faith. Gold tried in fire, church, is real faith. What you need, Laodicea, is some real faith. Bush Hill, if you don't have it, you need some real faith. I counsel you to buy of me. Watch this. That thou mayest be rich. You're saying you're rich. Yeah, you're rich materially. You got money, but spiritually, you're wretched. Spiritually, you're cold. You need to turn up the temperature. And then he told him to buy white raiment that thou mayest be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And white raiment means put on purity and holiness. You know, a church is a place where people are striving to live pure lives and holy lives. And if you're not living that life, and you may say you're all right, then you're not all right. So I encourage you to buy some white garments symbolizing purity and righteousness and holiness, and that will make you all right. And then he said, let's go a little further. And he said, and then anoint thy eyes with eye salve, because he told him earlier, you're blind, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve means to buy the truth. Because God's word is true. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is it helps me to see. So I counsel you. Bush here, let's take a test. Are we all right this morning? Look at verse 19. And the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If God loves you, he gonna chastise you. Hello? If you know, sometime people rebuke you out of love. All right? Like my wife tell me, I'm trying to help you if you let me. What she tell me about, I'm trying to help you if you let me. And I have to humble myself. God says, as many as I love, I chasten and I rebuke. Because you are cold as ice. Amen. And then he said, let's go a little further. And then he said in this particular verse, He said, here's the answer. Watch this. Now, they were, watch this, don't miss this. This is a contract. He said, your true condition is you're neither cold nor hot. So the answer to your condition here, look at verse 19, be zealous. Look at that word zealous. The word zealous means to be energetic and unflagging in enthusiasm. You were lukewarm. You get to church late, it doesn't bother you. You've been cold. If you was going to the concert and they say it's sold out, well, I can bring it closer than that. Let's do the classic. Classic weekend. The week of the classic, what do people start to doing? Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me, huh? And some of them get to the game a week and tailgate the whole week. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me on that. Huh? You think we a tailgate to go to church? And you know why people tailgate? Come on, let's be real. You know why people tailgate? Because they are excited about the game. Amen. Be at the game going to overtime. You don't get mad, do you? Bro Moss preached overtime this morning. Because spiritually, you ain't feeling this. Y'all all right? I'm just giving you the Lord is saying, I'm not going to accept you being lukewarm in my service. I'm not going to accept that. So you need to be accepted by the Lord, turn up the temperature. Jesus said, be zealous. Get excited. Unflagging enthusiasm. I know from time to time we all get tired. You ever find yourself spiritually losing it, losing your zeal, losing your fervor? Amen. And you think, even though you're losing your zeal, you're losing your fervor, you think you're all right, but the Lord says, amen. You need to turn up the heat. They have a zeal of God, but not according. So now let's bring it to a close. He said, be zealous and repent. That is, get excited about changing your mind. If you haven't been excited about the Lord, get excited. Get excited enough to come on out to Sunday school on time. Amen, Brother Moss. Get excited about doing his will. Now, in conclusion today, the final point is nothing great ever happened without enthusiasm. And that started with the preacher and the leadership. Amen. I find it amazing sometimes you can go to some churches and, you know, they so quiet. Now, I want you to understand me well. If that's what you're about, that's fine. But inside of you, there better be a fire burning for the Lord. Hello? Jeremiah said, Brother Sperling read, Jeremiah said that God's word had become a derision for me. It was a reproach. He said, I decided I wasn't going to talk no more for God. But then he said, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Somebody need to get on fire for Jesus. Somebody needs to get excited about the church of Christ. Is that all right? That's what Jeremiah said. He said, Sister Swift, I said I wasn't going to talk no more about him, but his word was burning me. Yes, it was like a fire. Shut up in my bones. Amen. In conclusion, we need to turn up the temperature. We need to get excited about personal evangelism. What was the last time you tried to lead somebody to Christ? We need to get excited about personal evangelism. We need to turn up the heat and reach out to people who are lost and dying in sin and tell them, as we sung today, Jesus is a great Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. And you ought to try. We ought to get excited about ministry. Now, listen, church, we have a zone program. No, excuse me, Brother Milton. I apologize. We have a harvest group. Is that right? Everybody in this congregation ought to be involved in a ministry. And you ought to be excited about it. You ought to turn up the temperature. Don't just be a bench member. Amen. We need to get excited about the areas of ministry. Everybody has a ministry, and we need folks who are excited about serving the Lord. Somebody ought to turn up the temperature. Amen. We ought to get excited about worship. Turn up the temperature. Y'all sure are quiet today. We need to get people excited about growth and personal development. Because some of us are cold. We're lukewarm when it comes down to these areas. And then we need to get excited about compassion. There's a lot of hurting folks in this world. And we ought to get excited about lifting the burden off somebody. And I realize I got to get more excited about the ministry and about preaching the gospel. Amen. Because sometimes I find myself cooling off. You find yourself cooling off? Well, if you thank God for microwave. Can you say amen to that? You know, you may have a plate and you plan to eat it and one thing come, another thing come, but thank God you can put it in the microwave, how to poop, 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 poop. And turn it on, and the microwave heats it up. I remember the Detroit Pistons as I close. The Bad Boys. Y'all remember the Bad Boys? Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. Them was a mean hombres. They had a guy, Brother Ben, came off the bench calling the microwave. Vinnie Johnson. And Detroit, Brother Hillary, may be down, but Vinny would get in there, and Vinny would just start hitting shots from everywhere. And in basketball, sometime, if a guy is hot, he might shoot one or two, and then he'd do what's called a heat check. You know what a heat check is? I know Wes know what a heat check is. See, when a guy is shooting the ball and everything is going in, he want to shoot one to see if he's showing up hot. Huh? Now, Claudia, if you got a man that's hot on your team, you shouldn't put him on the bench. Huh? If the man is hot, you need to keep feeding him the ball and ride him until he cool off. Is that right? We don't need to cool off in the church. We need to keep getting hot. And I want to tell you, if we sure enough get hot, we can turn this city upside down for Jesus. And people know when you're excited. Is that right? And they know when you're just going through the motions. They know when you just, it's just a formality. I just come to church because I think I ought to. You ought to be running in here because I want to give some praise to the one from whom all blessings flow. Is that all right? Oh, Jesus said, you neither cold nor hot, and you ought to turn up the heat. Is that right? And when I think about the Psalms in Psalm 100, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Be thankful and bless his name. How many are thankful for the Lord done for you this morning? Is that all right? Be thankful and bless his name. Is that all right? I still hear Jesus' voice coming down through the centuries, and he's saying, I know your works. Is that all right? Bush Hill, I know your works. Is that all right? I know whether you are excited. I know whether you have zeal. I know whether you fired up for me. Is that all right? And I know if you're trying to fake it till you make it. Is that all right? Because I know your works. Is that all right? And when you think about all the things God has done for every one of us, we ought to get excited. Is that all right? God took me from nowhere to somewhere. Is that all right? God took me from sunset to sunrise. Is that all right? God took me from disgrace to amazing grace. Is that all right? God took me from a spiritual famine to a spiritual feast. Is that all right? God took me from a slave of sin to a child of the Most High God. Is that all right? And because of that, I ought to be fired up for Jesus Christ. Is that all right? If anybody ought to have a spiritual pep rally, it's the people of God. Is that all right? Yeah, Lord, I just want to praise you. Is that all right? Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Is that all right? Because he's worthy. I said he's worthy. Oh yeah, he's worthy to be praised. So Lord, help me, Lord, to burn. Oh yeah, help me to boil, Lord. Help me to burn and boil through the church and say, Brother Moss is on fire. Help me to burn what they can say, Jackie Precious is on fire. Is that all right? Help me to burn like wind was fired up in his prayer this morning. I say, you can tell he felt like praying this morning, couldn't you? You could tell Rutledge felt like singing this morning. Is that all right? Oh, you can tell Moss felt like preaching this morning. But I better quit. Lest y'all cool off. Stand on your feet. That's the message this morning. Does anybody here this morning need to turn up the temperature? Do you feel your enthusiasm? You got to have enthusiasm to serve God. You got to have energetic enthusiasm. You can't be laid back. And like I told you, you may not say nothing. That's all right. But a fire needs to be burning within you. Because he says, I know whether you are cold or hot. Is that right? And you ought to be, and maybe you still water. I know still water run deep. But you need to be excited about Bush Hills Church of Christ. Amen. Excited about the possibilities for your life. Amen. And when you're excited, and you can say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to serve. I'm going to get involved in ministry. I'm going to get involved in personal development. I'm going to get involved in evangelism. If I just can invite one person to come to church every week. Amen. If I can just go to the track rack. Sister Milton and Sister Jessica did so beautifully. And I'll pick out one track. And I'll send it to somebody who I know that know the Lord. Or I'll call somebody and tell them, listen to the radio broadcast. And you know why I'm doing it? Because I'm fired up for the Lord. I'm going to do my best to get on fire for the Lord. Is that all right? If you're not a child of God this morning, you can be one by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. And if you are a Christian today and you've been lukewarm, I got good news for you. You can turn that around. Amen. And so from this day, I needed this message, and from this day, I'm going to strive to, and even if I find myself sagging, I'm going to do something to motivate myself to stay fired up for the Lord. Oh, come on and let it ride. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, let it ride. Let the Spirit come on and rise among us. Let the Spirit, yeah, rise. Let the praises of, yeah, rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let, oh, come on. Oh, yeah, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, let it rise. Oh,